Okay. Nice to see so many people willing to come out all of the night to hear about Yanei Chinuch. Can I make a joke? No, I shouldn't make a joke.
Of course.
Men don't come to a Yanei Chinuch speeches, only women come. Huh? It's supposed to be a joke. It's my wife's kasha. She always wants to know what the teretz is today. I don't know what the teretz is. Maybe we'll answer it tonight a little, but it doesn't even sound like a joke, right? It sounds like it's a fact. Okay, the shiur tonight, I was asked to announce, is Le'ilu Nishmas Yehuda Aryeh Ben Yoshua Yakir. And whatever we accomplish tonight should be Le'ilu Nishmas. Okay, so we're talking about chinuch. Chinuch involves, usually, parents and children. Not necessarily. Usually it involves parents and children. That's where the mitzvah is. But chinuch can involve rabbeim and talmidim, moros and talmidos, aunts and nephews, aunts and nieces. It can involve neighbors' children. Chinuch is helping Jewish children grow. Okay, now there's a relatively new book out. It's in English. Hebrew's been out for a few years. I'm not so good at reading books in Hebrew, especially when they're written in modern Hebrew. I don't understand the punchline. It's very frustrating. It's a book on the Brisker Rub. It's a book on the Brisker Rub in English. They just translated the first line into English. So in that book, it mentions in the beginning of the book that Reb Chaim, the Brisker Rub's father, who was the Rub in the city of Brisk, was extremely machpid on what took place in the chinuch of the school. And he said an unbelievable reason why he was machpid. He said he was machpid because if the chinuch was not top-notch, then we would lose out in a very serious potential. And what was the potential? He said that any child, any Jewish child, has the potential to be Mashiach. I can make another joke, but I don't know who I'm talking to exactly. I can say that's, you know, that's prior to Lubavitch. We also believe in Mashiach. So, you know, he's saying that the level of chinuch should be in ruchnius, it should be as high as it can be. I'm not talking about pressurizing children right now. I'm just talking about what other influences come into the school because the potential for Mashiach is... depends upon the clarity of vision of what the school is about. So Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, I think it's in Parshas Shemos in his Sefer Chumash, has an unbelievable word that Lahalocha in Yeruday, it's mentioned that a child can, if circumstances warrant it, can be nursed from a non-Jewish woman, but shouldn't be. And the makor for that halacha, the Goyim quotes a Rajva, if I'm not mistaken. And Rabbi Yaakov says that the Goyim quotes a Rajva because of the medrash that's mentioned in the Parsha Shemos, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to nurse the non-Jewish women. So Rabbi Yaakov has a very simple kasha. La halacha, the Mechaber mentions a halacha, which the Vilna Goyim says is based on a Rajva, which is based on a medrash. It says that the reason you shouldn't nurse from a non-Jewish woman is because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't nurse from a non-Jewish woman. And what? And every child has the potential to talk to the Shekhinah. Amazing statement. Allah. It's an amazing statement, Allah. I'm sorry. I forgot the name that we ended up showing. What's the name we'll call in tonight's talk?
Building
positive influences. Building positive influences, okay. I changed the title with my own notes. I said, Making a Good Movie. How's that? Making a Good Movie. You'll see what I mean as we progress. The first thing I want to tell you is that chinuch very often creates machlokes. And when I say machlokes, I'm talking about machlokes, I'm not talking political machlokes in a town. This school is more right, this school is left right, this school is center, this school this. I'm not talking about machlokes between mothers and fathers. Derech Agav, this is not chinuch, but and none of you are old enough yet, and I give you a bracha that you should all become old enough to do that, and that is when you become in-laws and then grandparents. I still feel like I'm 25, but I happen to be a grandfather. But there's a big nesoyin to know that your days of chinuch are now over, unless you were asked the question. If you're asked the question, you can respond. But voluntary information is not the role of the grandparent. The grandparent's role is to spoil the grandchildren and then leave, but not to give dais to parents about what they should do unless asked. So chinuch is between the mother and father. Now what happens when there's a machlokes between the mother and father? So there was a machlokes between the first mother and the first father of Klal Yisrael. The machlokes was whether Yitzchak was allowed to play with Yishmael. You know, we don't usually put in the word play, but whether Yitzchak could hang around with Yishmael. And Sarah said no. Sarah said that Yishmael has to be expelled from the house. And Avram said no. Avram said Yitzchak will be mashpia l'tov on Yishmael. And I'm not concerned about Yishmael being mashpia l'ra Yitzchak. And Sarah said no. Sarah said that Yishmael will have a negative effect on Yitzchak and is not worth it. And he has to be expelled from the house. And that was a machlokes. And what happened? What happened? It's a machlokes. So what do you do when you have a machlokes in your life? What does one do when they get into a disagreement with their wife? So if you're holding on the level of Avram and Sarah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you what to do. Might he pass in the Shabbat? What was his answer? Shema B'Kolo. Shema B'Kolo means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram that you are wrong and your wife is correct. That might be the reason why women come to talks on chinuch. I'm not sure, but that could be one of the reasons. Now, when our son was 9, I am a type A personality. Whatever that means, but I think I'm a type A personality. So my son was about, our second son was 9. I felt that he should go to my room. And my wife, who's much better at chinuch than I am, said that he should go to my room when he wants to go to my room, not when you want to go to my room. So I said, she was wrong. And she said, I was wrong. So, next time I was in Lakewood, I went into the Magiyah, Zechus HaShavachar, Nassim Bachfol, one of my Rebbeim, and I told him, I said, I feel our son should go to Myra. And my wife feels that he should go to Myra when he's ready to go to Myra. What does the Mashiach do? This was one of the last times I spoke to him. He was already old and he was weak and he looked up at me. I don't know if you ever saw a picture of the Mashiach. You ever saw the Mashiach of Nassim Bachfol or Tzadi. So he looked up at me. He was in his house at his dining room table. He looked up at me and he said, Shema B'Kolo. Shema B'Kolo. And most times when I've disagreed with my wife in chinuch issues, I've either called the Mashiach or I've called my Rosh Hashiva. And needless to say, she has a perfect batting average. She's been right and I've been wrong. That's something you admit publicly, but what should I tell you? That's the Matzias. So I do not know. I'm not telling you now a final shock that women have more of an innate ability to understand chinuch of children than men. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying that chinuch does not mean that mothers and fathers agree what should be done. I'm not even talking about making a decision which school a child should go to. I'm talking about stam in general. What should a child do? Mothers and fathers, they're not always agree, and it's very good to make up, like, sometimes businesses make this up, sometimes the meisters make this up, and there are two people running a meister and starting a meister together. They make up who will answer their shilas. And there's nothing wrong with implementing in the world of chinuch to have someone who the mother and father both agree will answer their shilas when they have a disagreement. And disagreements are going to arise. There is absolutely no shaila about that. Mothers and fathers are going to disagree about what, when, where, how, what age, what place, which friends, what to do, what can be done, what can't be done, what should be done, what shouldn't be done. And sometimes after talking it through, both parents can agree. And sometimes both parents don't agree. And sometimes even a third party is able to tell people what to do. Okay. Now, before we get to positive influences, I'd like to, first of all, I don't have a clock. It's 5 to 8. Okay. Now, what time? Okay. Thank you very much. What time am I supposed to be finished? I don't like to be like this. Whenever I want. Okay. Okay, I should stop by 8:30. Is that good?
Yeah, then there's
questions. Then if there's questions, fine. Okay, we'll try to do that. Okay, so let's begin with influences. David HaMelech. Gemara says about David HaMelech. David HaMelech said Shira. David HaMelech said Shira 5 times in words as a brachas. One time when he was born, he came out and saw the world. He said Shira. He said Shira. Incredible reasons to say Shira, the world, the Bayrei. And one of the reasons he said Shira is he said, an unbelievable reason to say Shira, he said that as a child, when he was being nursed by his mother, he was able to look into her face. La Fouke, any other creature in the world that nurses, the child that is being nursed never looks at the face of his mother or her mother. Now, it's an unbelievable concept to think about that David HaMelech said Shira, and one of the reasons he said Shira is because he looked at his mother's face. And the reason is, as the Gemara really says, come out explicitly, is because he was thanking Hashem that he didn't have to have anything but a positive interaction, not a negative interaction. Look at the Gemara, you'll see what the Gemara refers to as other creatures, how they nurse and what they see when they nurse. And what David HaMelech was able to see, he felt that was a reason to say Shira. David HaMelech was an infant. Okay, now obviously it's David HaMelech, but David HaMelech was an infant. And the Gemara is giving us this as a lesson for future dayers. What we want our children to be exposed to. That's an incredible thing. Incredible concept. What we do want our children to be exposed to, what we don't want our children to be exposed to. We don't want our children to be exposed to. There's a Mishnah Berurah in Siman Mem Zayin Sif Yud. Siman Mem Zayin Sif Yud. Mishnah Berurah says that on a daily basis, a person should be mispalel, that his children should be tzaddikim, balei midos tovos, v'lein be'sarei sechel lishma. Every single day. At least once a day. Tzaddikim, balei midos tovos, v'lein be'sarei sechel lishma. It's made my Shemoneh Esrei longer since our 4 children are married. Now we have grandchildren. I try to daven for all of them each day. It's a little long. But somebody came to the stipler and was crying to the stipler about his children, that they weren't doing so well. So the stipler said, do you cry over your children when you're daven? The person was like stunned by the shaila, and the stipler said, ich vein von mein chayim ol yedetog. I cry for my chayim ol, that is Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And at that time, the mice of Reb Chaim Kanievsky was nearly 50. Nearly 50. One could say that's a pretty positive influence as to why Reb Chaim Kanievsky became Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if the disciple was davening for him every day, that he should be a tzaddik and allowing me to study this and learn this and a sechel. But that's an obligation. That's an obligation. By the way, I'm talking, I don't know everybody in the room, I don't know anybody in the room, so I'm talking to anyone in the room who is presently a parent, and anyone in the room who is not yet a parent, I wish them as a Kohen Hegit that you should be zecher to be parents. And this is nogea for everyone to know that we have to be daven for our children. Mem Zayin Sifkot Yud in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, now I want to deviate for a moment, and I want to mention something which is a terrible shiloh. It's just a terrible shiloh, but I think the lesson from it is important to know. Somebody, a friend of mine, who's a Ben Tyra, and he's worked in the mental health field. He went to Rabban Levi Shneiman Zatzal and he asked Rabban Levi, but what do you do if you have a child who, in the middle of the Shabbos meal, gets up and turns on the light? I don't know, in front of the rest of the children. What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with that child? So Rabban Levi said, you should get up and give him a hug and tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. I did not say that Rabban Levi said you should tell your other children that what he did was right. He didn't say that. He didn't say that under circumstances, perhaps you could tell the child that what he did was wrong, but that's probably obvious. The child probably knows it's wrong. Grew up in a from house. But there's a limud here that a child has to know that his parents love him. It does not mean a child has to know that his parents will say yes to him for whatever he or she wants. But they have to know that a child will love. A child has to know that he is loved by his parents. On that note, I will tell you that I grew up, you know, pre-psychology. I grew up knowing that my father, Sholem, would tell me all the time that the most important thing in the world to him is his family. And we used to live in Crown Heights on Easton Parkway on a third floor of an apartment building. And he used to carry us up the stairs singing, I'm a very rich man even though I don't have any money because I have such wonderful children. You know, that's what he used to sing all the time. At his own tune, as he used to say, carrying us up the stairs. Okay, so now I'm going to mention the first thing that is maybe confrontational. Okay, and I don't know what the matzav is here. I'm not giving anybody any advice. I'm just talking. If our children have to know that we love them, that's what our children have to know, that we love them. And they have to know that. And they have to know that there's nothing more important in our life than death. They have to know that. They have to feel it. So then you get into an issue, which is the issue on the table. I don't know if it's the issue on the table in this community, but it's an issue on the table in many communities. And that is, this is a controversial, I'm not giving a psak here, everybody say, I'm just talking. What happens when a woman has to take a job for many hours a day so that her husband can learn cuddle? And the short end of the stick ends up being the children who are babysitters for a big part of the day. I'm a card-carrying member of Learning Cuddle. The theme of our shul is called Torah is the Yikar. We have it on license plates and on footballs and on pens and on hats and every simplest title we give out different things that say Torah is the Yikar. But, and Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam. No shaila about that. Now how about this shaila? How about a father who's working and has the ability to work longer hours to make more money? For what? Now, I did not know this about my own life until I was, I think, maybe 16. When I was 7 years old, we lived in Crown Heights. Our rent was $67 a month. And I'm aging myself right now, right? My father, who was a Gevaldik Rebbe, was the Rebbe Yankiv Yosef, and then the afternoon he taught in the Talmud Torah, was offered a third job teaching Talmud Torah in the Bronx. We lived in Crown Heights, which meant he would have gotten home like 10:30 two nights a week. And that job was going to pay $3,000 a year. You can do the math yourself. $67 a month rent, $3,000 a year is a lot of money. And he didn't take the job. I was in first grade, I don't know what's going on. I only found this out 10 years later. He didn't take the job because he wanted to do homework with me every night. So years later, I told this to my Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva of Long Beach, Shlita, she was after Rafu Shalema, Seshachal Yisrael, Amen. So he told me that you don't know that maybe anything you accomplish in your life is because of that act of Mesiras Nefesh. not active Mesiras Nefesh. You know, that's a powerful statement, Mitzad Rav Shiva, but it's also a powerful thought. It's a powerful thought. You know, we live in very stressful times. There's no question about it. We live in very stressful times. A lot of stress on either side. Staying in trouble, making more money when you're working, there's a lot of stress. But here's where a mother and father to sit down and say, what are our priorities in life? One of my Rebbeim once told me he had a chaver who would come home every night, sit down at the dining room table, open a gemara, and fall asleep. So he asked him once, why don't you just go to bed? Why are you opening a gemara, dining room table, falling asleep every single night? He said, I want my kids to see that their father falls asleep trying to learn. It's a positive picture. It's a positive picture. And chinuch does take some type of sacrifice, but the goal is to make that movie that is a positive influence. To make the scene that's a positive influence. Okay, now I want to digress for a moment. I want to talk about something else. We're going to come back to this. Somebody asked me a shaila. You don't have to raise your hands and tell me what you do. I'll tell you what I do. And actually, my wife disagreed. We've had this ongoing machlokes now. We're married almost 28 years. Baruch Hashem, I think, yes, 28 years. And, we're just 28 years. Married 28 years. And we've had this machlokes since the first Rosh Hashanah we were married. And that is, I make a moitzi, I cut up a slice of challah. I always cut the first slice in half, give half to my wife, half to myself. And I dip it in salt first, and I give it to my wife. Rosh Hashanah night, I dip it in salt, I put salt in the challah, and then I put honey on the challah. My wife says, can't do the work out of it, it doesn't make any sense. Challah, salt, challah. I said, that's the way I do it. So, compromise was, I give her a piece of challah, with only honey, without salt. I eat salt with my honey, and she eats only honey. This year, now everybody becomes a big place, like in a Talmud Chacham. I don't mean that as a pejorative. I'm just saying because now, you know, I don't even know what happened. It was Hamodia or Mishpach or something came into the house. But a whole article about salt and honey. You do salt without honey. You do honey with salt. You put the salt on the honey. You take two slices of bread, one with salt and one with honey. You take one slice of bread and put honey in the top and salt in the bottom. You take one slice of bread, put it in one end and salt in the other end. So I decided to, I'm giving shir. I give shir once a week, whatever, the most extreme shiloh I got that week. That's a shiur once called Shiloh of the Week. That's a shiur Thursday night. I'm giving shiur this year. I'm going to give shiur on. One of the shiur is going to be, what do you do for your shalom? Salt and honey, salt. No honey yet. It's a gata tumul. Unbelievable machlekes, a tumul, a tumul, a tumul. So why am I telling you all of this? Because of this shiloh led me into finding out about something which I'd like to discuss with you now for a few moments. Okay, here's the shiloh. The shiloh is like this. What is a Jewish house, and what is a Jewish state? What's a Jewish house, what's a Jewish state? Okay, let's first talk about a Jewish house. Let's talk about a house first. Okay, you know what Jewish house is? Jewish house is unbelievable. The first Jewish meal in a Jewish house, what was the first meal in a Jewish house that was celebrated by the Jewish people? Any ideas? Come Pesach in Mitzrayim. Excellent. Come Pesach in Mitzrayim. Everybody got their house ready. Everybody sat down and had a suda. Before they sat down and had a suda, what did everybody do? They took blood and smeared it all over the front door. Not that appetizing, we wouldn't say, and maybe not that clean and whatever, but that's what they did, right? You know why they did that? Unbelievable concept. You know why they did that? Because the house of a Jew is possible to become a Mizbeach. A Mizbeach. And the halacha is on Mizbeach. When you have a korban, what do? You put blood on the corners of the Mizbeach. That night, every Jewish home was comparable to a Mizbeach. And therefore you put blood on the corners, on the front. So a Jewish home can be a Mizbeach. Mizbeach. How about a Jewish body? What about a Jewish body? What could a Jewish body be? A sandik. Medrash says, you know what a sandik's knees are? A mizbeach. Amazing. The baby is like a korban. The sandik sits down, the baby is put on the sandik's knees. The Medrash says the sandik knees are like a mizbeach. Halacha. What type of wine but you're supposed to drink for Kiddush. This is a big, big tumult. Whole Siman Shulchan Aruch wrote, highest level, best wine. Non-mevushel, red, unsweetened. Yeah, I don't know about anybody here. I can't tolerate such wine, but I'm in a world used to these, you know. Most from people like Malaga, you know, whatever. Yeah, most people are used to sweet wines, you know. Some of us who have relatives or had people at our house, I'm sure, who are Bali Chula, who, you know, they have brought to my house all the time, our house, you know, these $25 bottles of dry wine. Like, they asked me to use it for Kiddush, and I said, oh, it's so good. And okay. Well, the Maisa, you know what it says in the Rambam? My son will point this out to me. You know what it says in the Rambam? That the Kiddush that you're supposed to use, the wine for Kiddush is supposed to be non-mevushel, red, unsweetened. Unsweetened. It can be naturally sweet, but unsweetened. Is because the yayin that you use for Kiddush is supposed to be the same yayin that you use for the Nesachim. Nesachim in English are the libations, the wort, the wine you pour on the Mizbeach. So now the body, so to speak, becomes like the Mizbeach. Because we drink wine that is comparable to the wine that's used in the Mizbeach. Okay, so we have a house and we have a body. Okay, what about a table? What's the table like? Here's the house. And then we got the body, and the body's sitting at the table. So what's a table like? What's a Jewish table like? Who? Mizbeach. How do you know that? What's that? Can't put your feet on it. That's good. Also, that's true. Can't put your feet on it. Can't kill a bug on a table. Can't kill a bug on a table because the table is Bengal Mizbeach, what Don Shulchanara. Any other olives? Salt. What's the olive with the salt? Huh?
Carbon.
The salt. That's how I got into this. Because of this, I got into all of this. Because of the salt. The salt. What about the knife? What about the knife?
You can't bench with anything.
Can't bench with a knife on the table.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Why?
Shalom.
Person once killed himself when he got to B'nai Yerushalayim. But the other reason is, he was so sad when he said B'nai Yerushalayim that there's no place to make that. He took the knife and killed himself. Cut himself, whatever. That's one other reason. The other reason is because a knife is made out of metal, which is the symbol for shortening life. And just like the Mizbeach was built without metal because the Mizbeach is a symbol of lengthening life, so too the knife is removed from the table because the table is blamed to a Mizbeach. Okay, so here we have a Jewish home is a Mizbeach. A Jewish home is a Mizbeach. A Jewish body can be a Mizbeach. And a Jewish table can be a Mizbeach. And that's why it says that if you don't say Divrei Torah, it's a Mizbeach for Zivchei Mesim. Instead of being for Karbonos, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it becomes the opposite. Okay, now, I would like to add one thing, and I am not saying this to pressure anyone. I don't even mean to pressure anyone, I just bring the thought. Okay. On that table, in that room, in this house, which is surrounded by Jewish people with Jewish bodies, on Leil Shabbos, drinking wine, the Zlaimatum is Be'ach, and it says in the Gemara, in the beginning of the sixth parak in Brachos, that when was, you know, in Beis HaMikdash was a Philharmonic orchestra with an incredible choir that performed in the symphony in the greatest places in the world. The choir was made up of Levim, who also played instruments, who stood on the steps in the Beis HaMikdash. There was incredible music that came out of the Beis HaMikdash, something we don't talk about too much anymore. Incredible music, with incredible scene that took place with a choir, with older men and younger boys, with harmonies and solos. It was unbelievable. When was that done? When was the singing done? When did they sing? They sang when they poured the wine on the Mizbeach. Okay, I'm not so good at this. I haven't been so good at this. I'm publicly admitting I wish I was better at it. No blame anywhere. Just not so good at it. Zemiris, at a Shabbos table, with his Kiddush, with his Yayin, with his Mizbeach. Zemiris. But that's not the pressure. The pressure which I'm not bringing to bear here, I'm just mentioning it. And I don't know how many people do it or don't do it, I'm just mentioning it. The first siman in Hilchos Shabbos is mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah, the incredible milah of baking your own challah. I know it sounds like quite a bit, just go home, don't come here and tell me about baking my own challah. I have enough to do, I don't want to hear about baking my own challah. I'm not coming here to tell you that. I'm not coming to tell you that that's what they should do. I'm just coming to say what the potential is in a dining. Okay, now, here's where the real pressure comes in. Friday night, everybody's exhausted. Okay, now we get parsha sheets. 16 parsha sheets from each kid. Read my parsha sheet, do this. Okay, so I want to say the following. I'm not saying anybody should read parsha sheets. I don't even know if you put them away, don't read them, I don't know how it will go. But I am saying that the Shabbos table with Abba and Ima, with no phones, with Abba and Ima, is an incredible experience. It's an incredible experience. I will tell you more than that. The Shabbos table with Abba and Ima with no children is also an incredible experience. But it's only telling me one thing. How incredible you make it. What you do with it. And how you do it. We tried many different things. Some worked, some didn't work. But it all depends on the ages, all depends on the children. But the Shabbos table is an incredible thing. But I'm saying it's incredible because the table itself is infused with Kedusha. If we tap into it, we can get a lot out of it. Okay, now, what I want to tell you, which I think is like, I have a tape. Yeah, I don't know if you want to call it Irgun Shurei Torah. I once made a tape. Spent a long time on this. The tape is called I think they mislabeled it. They called it, Can Orthodox Jews Have Fun? I called it, How Can Orthodox Jews Have Fun? Okay? Okay, now I want to tell you like this. Fun is a very positive experience. The problem is, we all know what the problem is. Kosher fun, not kosher fun. How do you have fun? Where do you have fun? This guy's going to be watching me. This guy's going to do this. Okay, so leaving that again on the side for a moment. I want to tell you an experience I had fun. And that's why I said before, I don't mean any pressure. My grandparents, my mother's parents, Aleihem HaShalom, lived on a farm in a town called Millis, Massachusetts, 25 miles from Boston. My great-grandfather, that's my mother's father's father, was the first Boston Chassid there ever was. Okay, now, on this farm, 40 years ago, you know, there were no bakeries, there were no grocery, there was nothing. You know, there was nothing. Everything was made from scratch. On Thursday morning, my Bobby Olashol took, I got the name, a 25-pound bag of flour. And she bought a bathtub, a miniature bathtub, and she would put 25 pounds of flour into this bathtub, and she would bake flour for Shabbos and for the rest of the week. And when I spent my summers on the farm, one of the most exciting things to do was to get up early Thursday morning and crack the eggs and spill the eggs into this well that she would make in the middle of the dome. Mill of flour until she started making the dough, add the water, make the dough. I'm using the word exciting. It was exciting. If I stop right now, I could probably start crying. It was an exciting experience. It was something I've not forgotten. That's what means, I won't forget. It was an exciting experience. Kosher fun, if you want to call it that. I'm not saying it wasn't hard work for my grandmother. My brother, the show was definitely hard work. She did it, and we enjoyed it immensely. It was a privilege to be able to do that with. Now, I think that what would be very positive in chinuch is to be able to create positive experiences, which are not easy to do. I'm going to tell you a challenge we have as a family. Okay, all of our children right now, Baruch Hashem, as I mentioned earlier, are married. I've been in a row right now for 20 years. When I first became a Rav, the shul was a little smaller, it had 80 families, then it grew, now it's like 250 families. And I'm on call, like every Rav is, you know, 7 days a week, etc., etc. So, my wife, who I said is the, you know, is really the mechaneches of our house, said, and it happened in the 8th year that I was Rav, or maybe the 7th year, someone in shul made a chasana during the 2.5 weeks that we go away. We would go away after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Chodesh Elul. One of the Balbatim said to me, you know, Rabbonim historically in Chicago went away during the 3 weeks. I said, listen, I don't know what Rabbonim did historically enough. I'm Jewish. I can't go away during the 3 weeks. I can't go away during the 3 weeks. I'm going away after Tisha B'Av. So it came to a little bit of a head. And the Shaila was, should I go back for that chasana? I don't know if Rebbe's in Shemesh any other day. I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm not telling anybody. I'm just talking about me. I called my Rosh Hashiva, and Rosh Hashiva said, again, that my wife was 100% correct. And I told the people in Shul, you can make simchas whenever you want. But starting after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Chodesh Elul, I'm not going to be in town. It's the only time I get to spend with my family alone, uninterrupted. I have a cell phone. Only the president of the Shul has the number. And you know, if they need me, they call the secretary and she can find me. The secretary has a number, and I leave on my machine the president's number and somebody else for Shiloh's and whatever. Those 2 weeks, or 2 weeks and 3 days, whatever they become, now they become smaller because the children are married, whatever, have been the best times that we've ever had as a mishpacha. Best times we've ever had as a mishpacha, because the children knew that we made a big stand for their sake. Was for their sake. Had it been me, and I made the decision, it would have been the wrong decision. I would have said, I have to go back for every simple. They'll fly me in, I'll fly back, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll run around. It was the best thing, that, besides my own health. Stam was the best thing they ever did for me. Now, everybody has their own ways of doing things. I'm not giving any formula here for what anybody has to do to fit in exactly to this rubric. But I am saying for sure that our children have to know. Our children have to know in some way, shape, manner, or form that they come first. And again, it doesn't mean that I'm going to do everything you want. As many in our house is, Chol HaMoed, we want to go to Chol HaMoedship. For the first hour, we argue. That's on it. First hour, we argue. Let's go. No, Abba. It's such a silly idea. Go here. No. No, no, no. It takes an hour and a half, and nobody knows what we're doing. Get into the car. We just drive somewhere, and it always ends up, we have a 95% of the time, we have a good time. Can't say 100%. But that's what we have to be able to do. That's what we have to be able to do. Now,
excuse me for 1 second, Baruch Hat. Baruch Hat, Rabbi, no, you're laying on the whole lunch. I call me the girl.
Sorry. Yiddishkeit has to be exciting. Yiddishkeit has to be exciting. You know what exciting is? Exciting is building a sukkah. Now, there are two ways to build a sukkah. It's a pain. It's a schlep. It's time-consuming. Or it's exciting. Exciting is, you don't have to do this. This is what I do. Exciting is, when I put up the walls, I scream the whole time, Shefa, 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 which means if I were feeling well, I'd be screaming a little louder right now. I'm not feeling so. Shefa means the influence is coming down. The Shekhinah is coming down. We're screaming Shefa. When I would clean the cars with my kids, I would scream, Chometz, Chometz, Yetzirah, screaming, let's find the Yetzirah, let's get rid of the Yetzirah in the car with the vacuum cleaner. Or it can be a pain in the neck. That's up to you. Whatever you make it to be. Cleaning the house with Chometz can be exciting. Cleaning the house with Chometz can be boring. Cleaning the house with Chometz can be extremely stressful. I'm not talking about the mothers, I'm talking about the kids. I'm talking about the kids. Not always easy to do. And the same thing with building the sukkah. And the same thing with anything. It can be exciting enough. We have a theme. I just told you we have this theme in the show. It's slaughtered in the house. Torah Zikr. Torah Zikr, we scream Torah Zikr. My kids are young, we scream Torah Zikr. We'd open up the windows of the car, 165 miles an hour, screaming Torah Zikr. Every state, we scream Torah Zikr. Always screaming Torah Zikr. Going to the, we like to go hiking, going to the woods and screaming Torah Zikr, Torah Zikr. Got this up later, Torah Zikr. Screaming, screaming, screaming. As my kids got older, they didn't like me so much. Okay, but They worked out well. My daughter wrote a report. I cried for so long. She wrote a report when I think she was a junior in high school about Torah Zikr. You never know. You never know what you're going to do. I didn't have one quick by myself. So when I had an opportunity to scream Torah Zikr, we screamed Torah Zikr. My father-in-law, for many years, was head of NCSY and head of the OU. So we once went to visit him on the 18th floor in his office in Manhattan. And right off his office, he had a little terrace. It's like one of the favorite stories in our family, a little terrace. So I told my kids, let's go. Went out to the terrace on the 18th floor. We're screaming, Torah in Manhattan, screaming, Torah Zikr on the 18th floor. I did not know that this terrace had a door, besides my father-in-law's office, had a door to the main conference room of the OU. And all the biggest balabatim in the OU were sitting in this conference room. And they said to my father-in-law, what is, who is that not out there with four kids screaming? What is that? So my father said, I don't know, I never saw him before in my life. He ran around the other corner and said, you know, get off the, you know. But, so we have the ability to make the scene. I don't know if the term is all right, I just said, to make the movie. We have the ability to create the influences. Okay, now we need energy to do that. We need energy to do that. And not again. We have plenty of stress in our life. Baruch Hashem, many of us have a lot of little children, a lot of small children, and money is a stressor, and then working is a stressor, and many things are stressors. We have to figure out a way in which we can make life for our children. I don't mean stress-free. I don't think it's stress-free, but at least enjoyable. We have to be able to make our life enjoyable. For them, they have to feel enjoyment. I want to end. Pesach Seder. This is Pesach Seder. I tell everybody in shul, it's a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv. You can do whatever you want. They give you a few choices. Pesach Seder. Buy 100 pieces of bubblegum. Anybody ask a question, bubblegum. Now, you know, that's a fair shigemara. The Gemara says that Rekiva used to make kloyas vagoizim, which were the candies in those days, roasted nuts were the candies in those days, and gave it to the kids. And our Seder, especially when the kids were younger, and I've done it with the guests, I've done it with adults, everybody's fighting over bubblegum. You ask a question, bubblegum. Give a good answer, bubblegum. Bubblegum is flying over the whole place. My wife got into it, so she bought frogs. And, you know, for the market, she bought all types of things, but we started with frogs, and the frogs stuck to the ceiling. She threw up these frogs, they stick to the ceiling. A few times they fell down, one time fell right into the case. You know, it's like, the Seder should be Levitic. The Seder should be Levitic. Say this should be Levitic. And if an uncle comes by and asks to say the concert stickle player, tell him very good. After we bench and the kids are asleep, you can tell us all the time you want. Right now, say this for the kids. Say this for the kids. Say this for the kids. It makes an incredible impact. Say this for the kids. And they know it's enjoyable. And they know Tati, Abba, whatever daddy is, that's what he's here for. Tonight is for the kids. Tonight is for the kids. And I'm not saying it's easy, because sometimes there are many people in this room may still be going home to parents and in-laws with their brothers and this and that, and it's hard. One day somebody's going to make the decision, which is also challenging. Unless you become a rabbi, then the decision is made for you. One day you're going to make a decision, I'm going to make my own seder with my own kids, and I'm not coming home. Abba, Ima, Daddy, Mommy, Tati, Mommy, whatever it's going to be. And that's not so easy. Not so easy. And one day the roles get switched and your parents are coming to you, and whatever happens. But there has to be a point where your children know that you are there for them. So, there's no question, as I started off, there's no question that we have to be careful about negative influences. I'm not here to start telling everybody what is a negative influence, what is not a negative influence. But I am here to say that we definitely have to make positive influences. And the positive influences have to be made by us. By us. And I want to conclude by saying that our yeshiva katanas, our day schools, whatever we refer to them, are not parents. They are only the shliach of the parents. Everything that happens cannot be blamed on the machanchim. There's no business being blamed on the machanchim. We are the ikar machanchim of our children. We pay our rabbeim and our moros to fill in for the job that's really ours. The job of chinuch is on a parent, not on a rebbe. We allow ourselves to use the rebbe because whatever the reasons are. So at the end of the day, Rabbi Shai, to be a parent is an incredible sport. As I mentioned before, everybody should be zeicha to be one. Everybody should be zeicha to have a lot of nachas from the children that they have, and Bez Hashem Yisborah from the children that they will have. But it comes with a chrayus. Children are not nachas machines that you put in a quarter and they smile at you whenever you want them to smile at you. Grandchildren are nachas machines. Children are not nachas machines. They're not nachas machines. They're not. They're human beings. and they have all of their issues like everybody else does. Our job is to interact with them in a positive way. I don't wish this on anyone, but we all have to be aware of the fact. I do not know why, and I don't believe anybody can really say why. But we all know, I thought that when I entered Kotel and then moved to Chicago as the Asar Rishonim for the Chicago Kotel, 10 Choshev Mishpachas, I thought that we were in like Flint. I went to yeshiva, my wife went to yeshiva, our kids are going to yeshiva, everything's going to be a breeze. And we have friends with kids who didn't make it. From great families with kids who didn't make it. I can't tell you why. I'm not smart enough to tell you why. I don't know if anybody alive can tell anybody why. But positive influencing is definitely a way to help. It's definitely a way to help. There's no shiloh in the world that's definitely a way to help. You should be zeicher, Rabbi Yisai, that this year, as we said, should be the Nishmas Yidu Aryeh ben Yeshua Yahir. And we should be zeicher to try to the best of our abilities without stressing ourselves out either. And I know this is all a balancing act. If my wife was here, she's a mental health professional, she would have many more things to say in many different ways. But I want to say it in this way, that we have the ability to turn every mitzvah, every yontif, every Shabbos, every occasion into exciting, positive interaction. And we have the ability to turn it into the opposite. And it takes work, and it takes energy, and it takes koiches, and it takes togetherness with our spouses to be able to do it. So we should be zeicher to be able to do it. And you, I say you means collectively you, by and large, women, other people who interact with the children more than the husbands do. The mothers interact more than the fathers do. The mothers have been given by Kodesh Baruch Hu more love, I believe, to the children instinctively than fathers do. But everybody has to be involved in chinuch. We should all be zeichet to be matzliach and make the next generation of Klal Yisrael even better generation than you are. I used to consider myself the same generation as you, maybe. It's not getting there anymore. But we should all be matzliach together. It's 8:31. If anybody would like to ask any questions, I would gladly be willing to try to answer them. No guarantees. If anybody has any questions, it's also fine. Whatever you would like to do, I'm willing to listen. That's fine. It's fine. No questions. It's also fine. Okay. I'd like to conclude our side by saying I think fun is important. I think fun is very, very important. Don't give it second shrift. It's very important. Being fun is very important. And knowing Mishnayos Bal Peh is very important. And doing a lot of chesed is very important. Very important. Having fun with our children is also very important. I once went to visit one of my rebbeim who today has his own yeshiva in the Catskill Mountains. He said, I promised my children I'm going swimming with them now. I looked at him, you go swimming with your children? You know, and sometimes you don't see that part of a rebbe in a yeshiva. You know, sometimes you can hear that part of being a father, whatever it might be. Fun. Having fun with our children. I'm not talking about taking them anywhere with the shilas. I'm not talking about, you know, take them to the woods. Go to the woods. Climb a mountain. Find something to do which nobody would have a shilas. Do something. But it has to be fun. I know it's easy to say, it's not so easy to do, but we have to try to do it. Positive interactions with our children create positive influences which make our children that much healthier so they can accomplish everything that they can accomplish in this world. Hatzlacha Rabbah. Okay, I should call up to all of you, Rabbi. I say you have a wonderful community. I've only seen it in the dark so far.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Do I know you?
Thank you very much. I know me.